A world-first IVF website has launched this week, funded by the federal government, and it promises to help IVF patients estimate their chances of having a baby and compare clinics around the country. Almost 1 in 20 babies in Australia are born through IVF, with some patients or couples who struggle to conceive, sometimes spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in the process. Now, Stephen MacArthur is Genea's scientific director, and he joins us live now. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Thomas.
Thank you for your time. How will this new system benefit people who might be seeking to pursue IVF?
I think that what the Your IVF Success website will do is allow patients to make a much more informed choice of an IVF clinic based on four measures that give, if you like, the patients the ultimate outcome that they're trying to achieve, which is an assessment of live birth rates.
Okay, so when we have an assessment like, I guess one of the questions, excuse my naivety, is does it matter what clinic you use when it comes to the success of live birth rates?
Well, I think patients have individual clinical needs in undertaking IVF, and that can be different reasons for their infertility or different causes on both male and female side. So having a proper understanding of the capabilities, the technologies of a clinic is really important for patients in making those decisions.
So some clinics are better at addressing some issues regarding infertility or genetic testing than others?
Certainly, clinics can have differing offerings in the technology that they provide, and it's important not using just the website as a standalone measure. It's important that patients also understand all of the capabilities of an IVF clinic.
So what criteria do people need to meet to have the best IVF outcomes?
Well, that's going to be very much dependent on the individual seeking treatment. And it's very important that the clinical diagnosis provided by their referring doctor is utilised by clinics in providing the treatment. To give you an example, in a number of cases and across our doctors, that some 50% of patients who actually present in our doctor's rooms actually don't even go on to have IVF treatment. They're offered other solutions to their infertility problems.
And it's not a cheap process, is it? I mean, some families spend thousands of dollars on what's a mentally and physically draining process. I mean, how much does one cycle typically cost? Or I imagine, does that depend on what clinic you go to as well?
There is variation in pricing of clinics across the country. I would say that we talk about, IVF in Australia is supported by Medicare and to some extent by private health funds as well. So you can have out-of-pocket costs for a typical IVF cycle ranging anywhere, I'd say, from $1,000 to $4,000.
Is anything being done to reduce that cost, given I imagine more and more babies are being born through IVF in Australia?
Yeah, look, what the costs are being reduced, and the greatest contributor to reducing the cost of IVF is improving success rates. So if we can get patients pregnant faster, then the ultimate outcome there is that they spend less on their treatment.
So how much of an issue has transparency within the sector been up until now regarding those successful outcomes or otherwise?
Well, the Your IVF Success Rate website really is an Australian first. There are other examples internationally of websites that offer patients in different countries this sort of information. I think, in fact, for patients, it's a game changer in Australia. There has not been, if you like, a go-to source for patients to get clarity around outcomes from different IVF clinics. And I think the Your IVF Success website is a real positive for Australian patients.
Can I ask you as well, Stephen, there's some research out this morning and it's highlighted the number of clinics in Australia and New Zealand offering patients add-ons, so things like additional genetic testing, time-lapse systems. I mean, they cost up to $4,000 extra, and almost three-quarters of the clinics consulted, it was a University of Melbourne study, they were found to be offering these services. I mean, what guidelines are in place to ensure that patients are provided with the medical evidence that these treatments are beneficial before they pay that money?
Yeah, I have to state, Tom, I haven't read that specific study.
Sure.
However, in the provision of services, it needs to be guided by the clinical referral of a doctor who is putting a patient through the IVF cycle. I'll give you an example, if you like, of the extended or continuous culture time-lapse incubation systems. In data that we presented to a major Asian conference 2 years back now, we were able to show a 24% increase in high quality embryos being available and a 26% increase in pregnancy rates. Now, that's really important that that data backs up the provision of those services. What's also important is that patients have universal access to it, which they do across our clinics. I would summarise, I suppose, by saying it has to be guided by clinical necessity. The need for those services has to be directed by a clinician, not by the clinic.
And just finally, with regards to this website, this new online resource, important to disclose, I mean, you do represent a private IVF provider in Australia, yes. But has this been organised and collated independently of IVF companies? We haven't got a situation here where there's a tool in place that will benefit certain providers.
No, absolutely not. It was established through the government with an independent committee that did have representatives from some of the IVF clinics, Tom. What's really important is that it had consumer representation and also representation from independent data bodies that generated the website, so it was not under the control of the IVF clinics.
Okay, Stephen, thank you very much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
That's Stephen McArthur, Genea's scientific director.